Now, your host, Michael Cohen, with the Capital City Recap on more compelling talk radio, 1320 WILS.
Welcome back. I'm Michael Cohen with producer Desi Simmons. So President Obama wants to dramatically raise our fuel efficiency standards, and while some in the auto industry oppose the initiative, a new report finds that the effort would create jobs right here in Michigan. To talk about it, I'm joined by Steve Tripoli, a manager who works with the transportation group at Ceres, a nonprofit organization that leads a national coalition of major investors and public interest groups focusing on challenges like energy policy and global climate change. Welcome to the program, Steve.
Thanks, Michael. Thanks for having me.
Now, off the bat, the question any business-minded person would have is, why should the government be getting involved in telling our automakers how fuel-efficient their vehicles should be? I mean, shouldn't the marketplace be dictating that?
Well, I think that what the government is looking at here is that it's a moment where there's a competitive challenge ahead, where we have an energy policy challenge ahead, where we need to, you know, lower our dependence on foreign oil, and where we also have a climate change challenge ahead. And it's time to address those.
Now, the goal, from what I understand, is over 54 miles per gallon by 2025. What is the current range of fuel efficiency that American vehicles get?
I think that the range right about now is in the high 20s, but this is actually a pretty normal glide path. I mean, this is an average increase of only about 4% a year, starting in 2017. And you know, there have been reports that that some of our partners have done. In fact, City Investment Research, which does these reports for their investor clients, says in a report that they issued this year that the technology is out there already to do this. So it's not like it's going to be a technological stretch.
So when we're talking about technology, are we simply talking about hybrids then?
No, it isn't just hybrids. You know, these are the kinds of things that that automobile suppliers, parts suppliers, and technology suppliers in right there in Michigan provide. You know, we're talking about things like, I have a list right in front of me here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we're talking about clutches. We're talking about hybrid drives. We're talking about Can't find my list.
Well, you know, I am curious, though. I mean, what kind of fuel efficiency do hybrids currently get? Is it near that 54 mile per gallon range?
Yeah, hybrids are getting probably in the low to mid 40s right now. And in Europe, some of these cars are getting substantially more. And some of those technologies that we mentioned that I was trying to get to earlier include things like turbochargers, direct injection, dual clutch transmissions. And these are things that are, you know, part of the auto industry right out there in Michigan and in the Midwest.
So it's actually going to be structural changes to the engines that's going to, I guess, almost double our fuel efficiency by 2025?
Yeah, but again, you know, bear in mind that, in other parts of the world, I mean, the standard for 2025, which the Obama administration is likely going to announce next week, the 54.5 mile a gallon standard, That's where Europe expects to be 5 years earlier in 2020. That's where some countries in Asia are at, will be at the same time. So again, it's not a technological leap. This is basically off-the-shelf technology. And, you know, if you add in the possibilities for the electric car industry to sort of move the whole industry toward that standard, it makes it even more interesting.
I'm talking to Steve Tripoli, a manager who works with the transportation program at Ceres. Now, I wonder, the auto industry itself, has it then been directly against these new rules taking effect?
No, the industry is signed on. I mean, the industry appeared with President Obama in the Rose Garden back a year ago when they talked about the standards that would go through 2016. And they're signed on to this next batch of standards that'll be coming out 2017 through 2025 as well. And it isn't just the manufacturers; it's the United Auto Workers, you know, even the National Association of Manufacturers, and of course out in the state of California, which has a huge market and that helps set a lot of the national standards. The people who run the state of California's emissions program are on board for this as well. And in fact, they're working with the federal government under this agreement that the automakers signed on to.
Now, your report, I guess, finds that these rules would actually create jobs. Why so? I mean, wouldn't there be jobs created simply by the industry operating on its own terms?
Well, we actually had a couple of reports that came out, and there was that City report that I mentioned that said that what economists call this kind of thing is technology forcing. You know, when when there's a standard that is set, and especially when you're working in a global environment that's really competitive, I mean, it's good to have a standard like this. When there's a standard that's set, it does tend to sort of move things to scale more quickly. And, you know, the Citi report, which, again, was for its investors, said that if you had stricter fuel economy standards, that the economic benefits would be spread across the global auto industry, but would be particularly good for the Detroit 3, for General Motors, Ford, and Chrysler, and for their suppliers. So, you know, that was the news from that report. And then we had another report that was done by an independent group. This is an economic analysis by Management Information Services. And they found that at the 54.5 mile a gallon standard, which is the one that we expect the Obama administration will release next week, there's going to be more than 22,600 new jobs in Michigan. That makes Michigan number two among all states in terms of percentage job growth.
Mm-hmm.
And that across the United States, 484,000 new jobs, with about 43,000 of those directly in the auto industry. But there are spinoff effects, as you know, anytime there's economic growth. And that 49 states would see net gains in employment.
So how does this work? Does the administration set these rules on its own terms and they go into place?
Oh, no. They've been talking about these rules. They've consulted all the stakeholders. You know, we've had automobile mileage standards in this country for several decades. And, you know, before they're set, there's a public comment period. The automakers certainly get their say. The auto suppliers get their say. As you can imagine, the consumer groups come in and talk about what they feel about it, and then they will listen to the general public as well. So there's been public comment on this stuff already. They've worked with the National Highway Transportation Administration, has worked with NHTSA. You know, so NHTSA and the California officials have been working together,
mm-hmm.
and also the Department of Transportation as well. So there's been a lot of consultation leading up to this announcement.
Isn't the necessary R&D to achieve this level of efficiency likely going to raise the price of all cars for consumers?
Oh, there's going to be an upfront cost. There's going to be an upfront cost, an additional cost for this technology. But, you know, one of the interesting things about the Citi report and also a poll that we did with the Melman Group that focused on Michigan and Ohio, you know, people realize that the upfront cost is going to be more than offset by the savings. And when I say more than offset, then, you know, the numbers are pretty dramatic. I think that... let me see. The latest analysis we had is under the scenario that President Obama's administration is going to be announcing next week, the net lifetime savings, if you buy one of these cars with this new technology, and we're talking about the extra cost of the car up front minus the savings and fuel,
mm-hmm.
is going to be somewhere in the $5,300 to $6,200 range over the lifetime of the car, and the payback period is only going to be about 2 to 3 years. So I think that that's something that most consumers have shown a preference. They will pay that little bit extra up front to get those really big savings over the life of the car.
At this point, sales of electric vehicles and hybrids are so marginal. I mean, by 2025, aren't we going to see a much larger proportion of our vehicles hybrids, and isn't that going to be really the true way that we're going to achieve real efficiency when it comes to our use of fuel?
Yeah, I think you're right about that, Michael. I think that hybrids are going to be, you know, the central technology to fuel savings. But, you know, what's really exciting is what's happening to the, you know, traditional internal combustion engine. You know, all those things that we mentioned earlier, you know, turbochargers, direct injection, dual clutch transmissions, you know, that's all stuff that works with the traditional engine. You add that to lighter materials for making cars, more aerodynamic. So, you know, there can be, there's a lot of what I guess economists would call low-hanging fruit, you know, stuff that can be easily plucked out to improve mileage, even in traditional cars. When you add in hybrids and when you add in electrics, which are small now, but which are going to be a growing part of the market, I mean, you can get to this overall fleet average, you know, without really breaking a sweat.
And in terms of the impact, I guess when you look at the need for this higher fuel efficiency, it's basically based on the fact that cars produce so much pollution. And are they, in fact, such an issue when it comes to pollution?
Well, you know, pollution is certainly part of it. And you know, I think that when you see the latest science on climate change and global warming, you know, that's a factor. But, you know, there's a lot more going on. It isn't just a pollution thing by any stretch. You know, I think that there's a recognition that the rest of the world's automakers are moving in this direction, so we really can't, you know, turn our backs on that competitive challenge. There's a national security thing. We really need to get our reliance on oil down. And, you know, there's a real jobs opportunity. I mean, there really are great opportunities to become globally competitive and to really increase the auto industry's global competitiveness, with these technologies. And, that's why the report by Management Information Services found, over 22,000 jobs right there in Michigan coming with this new standard. I mean, this is a chance to not only add jobs, quickly, but to really get, really sort of capture the future, really take hold and become, grab onto global leadership in the car market. And, people are making cars all over the place now. It isn't just the United States and Japan anymore, so we really need to be in front of this.
I wonder, without these rules taking place or being put into place, wouldn't there be a natural improvement in our fuel efficiency without the rules in place? And is there any idea of what the difference would be without any kind of structure in place by the government?
Well, I think it's fair to say, especially with gas, with $3.50, $4 a gallon, that there's going to be some move toward more efficiency anyway. But, I think that what the industry recognizes and the reason that the industry has been on board with what the Obama administration is doing is that it's better for everyone to have the same set of rules. It's better to have a level playing field so that not only General Motors, Ford, and Chrysler can be looking at the same goals, but that they can be thinking about what the goals are versus Honda and Toyota and the Chinese automakers and the Indian automakers. So I think that what these rules do is, first of all, they level the playing field, but also they sort of, get the technology out there faster. And that's a good thing for the auto industry, and it's a good thing for jobs, and it's also a good thing for the consumer that's going to buy that car and save that money.
Steve Tripoli, a manager who works with the transportation program at Ceres that just released the report showing more jobs here in Michigan and across the country based on these fuel efficiency rules being put in place. Thank you very much for joining me, Steve.
Thanks very much, Michael. Thanks for having me.